Again, friends, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks for choosing to be a part of what's going on here. So it's awesome. Wanted to let you know that honestly, this series has hit pretty close to home for me. I just have to admit that I struggle with anxiety. I do. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with fear. I struggle with worry. And sometimes, honestly, it can be pretty bad. Sometimes it keeps me from sleeping. Sometimes it makes me physically sick. I have stomach problems from it. Sometimes it makes it very difficult for me to concentrate at work. And I just kind of feel like I know I miss things because I'm not really there. And I know that I also, sometimes I just feel like I want to run away and I just want to go find a happy place where I can just kind of shut the world out and pretend that none of the things that worry me really exist. Now, I also suffer from high blood pressure and I'm not certain that my anxiety causes it, but there's no doubt at all in my mind that it certainly exacerbates it. Now, I don't worry about everything. I really don't. I'm pretty specific in my worry. I don't worry about money. I don't. Because frankly, I just figure money can always be replaced. And even if I lose it all, go make some more, and it's okay. It's replaceable. I don't worry about my health because frankly, I've been in places and been in situations where I honestly thought I was going to die, and I found that I was okay. Peace with that. And so I don't worry about that. I don't worry about government conspiracies. I don't worry about a zombie apocalypse. But what I worry about, to the point really sometimes obsessively, is I worry about my family. I worry about, are they okay? I worry about their health. I worry about their happiness. I worry about their welfare. And I have to admit, friends, I do. It terrifies me. Terrifies me, makes my bone marrow run cold to think that they might be sick, that there might be something wrong with them. And sadly, I really do believe that I'm in really good company in our world today, because I think that we are a generation that has become absolutely obsessed with our health, absolutely obsessed with being healthy. And ironically, this obsession, this preoccupation with our health is actually turning us into a generation of hypochondriacs. In the 1920s, the medical profession decided to start doing something brand new. They had never done it before, and they introduced this thing called an annual physical. And what they decided is it would be good if you would go see your doctor once a year just to have everything checked out. Before the 1920s, the only time that you would ever go to a doctor is if you were sick. Now, I have a wonderful doctor, I really do. And I think the world of him. And of course, I know that an annual physical is a very, very good thing because we all know that early detection is often critical for a cure. So I thank God for that. But here's the thing. Physicals almost always give us something to obsess about, right? Almost always give us something to worry about. Because if you're like me, you go to the physical, you're feeling pretty good. You're feeling like everything's good. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, your blood pressure is really bad. You better be careful about that. Oh, your kidney numbers are not going in the right direction. You better be careful about that. So even though I went in feeling pretty good, I leave worried and I leave uptight. It's kind of like my car. I don't know about you, but I swear to you, I have never once in all of my life ever brought my car in for anything, even if it's just like a state inspection and it's running perfectly well, and I know there's nothing wrong with my car, but I've never brought it in without being told, ooh, yeah, it passed the state inspection, but I'm telling you, your belts are about to go, and your plugs are in really bad shape, and your tires are getting dirty, and we recommend about $37,000 worth of repairs, because you don't want to break down in the highway. There's always something wrong with it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm serious. I'm very serious here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for my doctor. I am deeply grateful for the fact that I have good health insurance. I'm simply saying that if you always think about something, it's going to affect you. That's just the way it is. And so if you're always thinking about your health, and if you're obsession and you're obsessing about your health, it's going to have an effect on you, and it's going to have a negative effect. It's going to start turning you into a hypochondriac. I mean, seriously, our Fitbits, what do? They make us worry about our steps. Have we gotten our steps in yet so far? Okay, now, I want you to hear me out before you raise those hands. I want you to raise your hands if 15 years ago you worried about getting your steps in. Raise your hands. Nobody. All right. Now raise your hands if you worry about and count your steps today. All right. Now look around, those of you with your hands up. All the rest of us and you, we survived without counting our steps. We're here. Okay. We did not die. Okay, we did not die. Now, the good folks at Nielsen tell us that on average, there are 80 commercials every hour on American television talking about a wonder drug that will fix this awful disease. Okay, now, of course, what do these commercials do? When they start talking about this awful disease, you don't really think about the drug. What are you thinking about? Oh my gosh, that sounds like what I have. And all of a sudden we start thinking, I've got that awful, horrible disease. So friends, I want you to do something for me right now, okay? I want you to in your mind's eye, picture this. I want you to think about a pink elephant, okay? Got that? Now this pink elephant is wearing a tutu. Okay, now this pink elephant wearing a tutu is riding a unicycle. You got that? You got that in your mind? Now, raise your hand if you were thinking about a pink elephant wearing a tutu riding a unicycle before I put that idea in your head. Do you see the power of suggestion? Do you see if an idea is entered into your mind, all of a sudden you're going to imagine it? Now, $4.5 billion a year, every year, is spent by pharmaceutical firms on advertising directly to the consumer to advertise medicines that will cure the sicknesses that you might have. And all that does is make us obsess about, what if I have that? And of course, I haven't even mentioned to you the greatest hypochondriac maker in the history of the world. This one tool has made more hypochondriacs than anything ever in the history of that world. And that tool is the Internet, right? Google. Google has turned us all into hypochondriacs because I have this pain in my side, right? Now, more than likely, it's just an effect of the burritos I had for dinner last night, okay? It's probably just gas, or maybe I've pulled a muscle. But what do? I go, oh, I've got this pain in my side. So I Google my symptoms, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you get this long list of all these awful death bringing diseases that are probably what's happening to you. And so even though it's probably just gas, now I really do have a health problem because I'm freaking out that I have pancreatic cancer and I'm going to die, okay? When we obsess about something, we imagine things that aren't really there. Plus, just the fact is, the way information is presented to us can really make things sound a lot worse than it is. Now, the American Cancer Society is a fantastic organization, and I truly praise God for them. They've done so much good in our society, but they are a nonprofit. And like all of us nonprofits, they need to raise money. They need to get those government grants. So what that means is they need to raise the urgency of their cause. So the American Cancer Society tells us that in America today, one in four men will die of cancer. They say that all the time. 1 in 4 men will die of cancer. And that's like pretty alarming, right? I mean, 25% of us guys are going to die from cancer. But now let's take a step back and let's kind of examine that figure. Now, if you remove from that figure all the men who smoke, 25% drops down to under 15%. So you could say 1 in 4 men will die of cancer. Or you could say the same thing, but say it differently. And you could say over 85% of men who do not smoke do not need to worry about dying from cancer. Same thing, but my goodness, what a difference it makes with how you present that information. Now, let me take it a step further for you, right? The average diagnosis for cancer takes place at 70 years old, okay? And statistics from the American Cancer Society also show us that our chances of dying from cancer before the age of 60, if we're a non-smoker, is 0.5%, okay? 0.5%. In other words, you can say that there is a 99.5% chance that you will not die of cancer before the age of 60 as long as you don't smoke. So what that's telling you is all of you in here who are under 60 and don't smoke, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. 99.5% chance you'll be okay. Don't worry, right? Worry robs the present of joy and peace because it borrows problems from the future and brings them into the present. And by the way, most of the time, the problems that it borrows aren't really ever going to happen anyway. But the result is you're robbing yourself of joy and peace. You're robbing yourself of the life God wants you to have right now because you're borrowing trouble from the future. Our Savior Jesus Christ says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And his point is twofold. What he's saying is worrying about it now isn't going to change the future anyway, so why bother? Even if it is going to happen, you can't stop it from happening. But second of all, it's probably not going to happen. So why worry about it? It's not going to help. Why worry about what might happen and let it ruin your peace and joy today? Now, as always, the advice that our Savior gives us is extremely good advice, extremely good. But we need to ask ourselves, okay, how do we do that, right? Okay, Jesus, don't worry. It doesn't do any good. Gotcha. Now, how do I do that? How do I stop worrying? Because trust me. If I could just stop worrying, I would. I've shared with you the problems I have from anxiety, the problems I have from worry. So trust me, I would just stop doing it if I could. But I do want to share with you right now some things that I have found to be very beneficial to me. Because I am a worrier, I have found these things to bring a lot of peace, a lot of strength into my life. They're wonderful tools to overcome that worrying, and I want to share them with you. You see, when worry and anxiety sets in, what happens is our minds fixate on what scares us. And all we start thinking about is what might happen. All we start thinking about is that thing that scares us so much. And so when we start to fixate on that, we start in this cyclical, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and we just ramp ourselves up and suddenly our heart starts beating faster and suddenly our breathing is shallower and more rapid. So what we need to do is literally, we need to wrestle control of our minds away from worry, and we need to wrestle control of our breathing away from worry. What we need to do is choose to do that. And I told you, I know this from firsthand experience. Even when I'm in one of my bad modes, we can choose to do this. So when we feel that anxiety start coming, we need to choose to stop thinking about what it is that's scaring us so bad, and we need to start thinking, we need to fixate our minds on Jesus. We need to start thinking about Jesus, and then we need to take control of our breathing, because when we do that, it's going to lower our heart rate, all right? And the very best tool I've ever used to do this is something that is extraordinarily effective. It's an ancient prayer, and it's a prayer that Christians have been praying for over 1,200 years. And I love the fact that after first service was over, I had many people come up to me and say, "Mike, you taught that to me 15 years ago. I use it like every day." And I have people go, "Thank you for doing that. That has helped me so much through the years." So it's not just me that can tell you this really works. It's a lot of people here at Living Word have experienced it as well. And what I'm talking about is called the Jesus Prayer. And I want to teach it to you. Now, when you pray, what you do is you then take control of your mind, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to start thinking about what I'm praying about instead of what I'm scared about, right? So you take control of your mind and you start take control of your breathing. Now, I want to teach it to you, but the problem is I can't really do it and preach and teach it to you at the same time, because it involves praying while you're breathing in and while you're breathing out. And I don't know about you, but I've never mastered the art of talking while breathing in at the same time. It's a very difficult thing. But when you pray this, you pray it silently in your head while you're breathing, okay? So here is the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Boom, you can memorize that in 10 seconds. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But again, when you pray it, you are wrestling your mind away from what worries you, and you're fixating your mind on Jesus. Lord Jesus, and you start thinking about Jesus, you're thinking about who you're praying to, you're thinking about what you are praying. And as you breathe in very slowly, you breathe in again, you can't do it, I'm just showing you how to do it, but silently, you breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ. Pause, hold it, and then breathe out very slowly, Son of God. Pause. Breathe in slowly. Have mercy on me. Hold it. Pause. Slow. A sinner. So it goes, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want you to try that with me, okay? In your heads, go ahead and practice this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Can you feel the power of peace, even physical, that prayer brings to us? You know, ever since I was a little boy, I have been a chronic insomniac. And so if I'm in one of my worry phases, forget about sleeping. So what I've learned is, as I'm laying in the darkness in my bed, rather than tossing and turning, rather than trying to read, rather than trying to go, oh my gosh, I gotta get to sleep, rather than trying any of these things, what I do is, in the silence and in the darkness, I remind myself, Jesus is literally with me. The very last thing that Jesus ever said to us is, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. And I believe Jesus. And so I know he's with me. And I literally just remember, he's sitting on the side of my bed. I'm in the darkness there. Instead of freaking out, I remember Jesus is sitting right there. And so in the darkness, I do this Jesus prayer, and I do it over and over and over and over. And pretty soon, I'm not doing that anymore because I'm asleep. It works every single solitary time. Sometimes in the middle of the day, if I'm amping up with my worries and I'm amping up with my anxiety, just stop and pray this Jesus prayer. And you can just feel the peace come about it. It works every single solitary time, friends. It always does. And another tool that I have found that really, really, really helps me is I have absolutely fallen in love with Psalm 34. And one of the most anxious, the most horrendous, like 3-week period of totally freaking out with worry, Pastor Francis from Ghana sent me this email and he said, I want you to pray this psalm. And I have been doing it ever since. And it's Psalm 34, and I thank my brother for sharing this with me. And I pray this out loud. Don't just read it silently. You need to pray it out loud. And you need to really think about what you're praying, right? Psalm 34 goes like this. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, can put anxiety in there, right? In my anxiety, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Probably in the last 365 days, I've only prayed that about 596 times. And another thing that I have found that works so well in helping me to overcome my worry is to just get busy physically and to concentrate on what you're doing, right? Because one of the things I love to do is take my dogs for walks. It's just kind of a way to get away, and I take them for walks, and I don't just take them for walks, but when I'm walking, I'm praying, and I'm praying hard. And I know a lot of people have said, Mike, I drove by and I waved and you didn't wave back. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't really conscious of the cars going by because I am so in tune with God right there. It's just me and God. And you know what I do? I tell Jesus how scared I am. And I tell Jesus how freaked out I am. And I say, Jesus, I really need you. I really, really need you. And I remember that he's with me and I know that he's for me and that brings me incredible peace. And so just the act of being with Jesus, sharing that with him, helps me so very, very much. Another thing that I have found that has really helped me with my anxiety is just choosing to help someone else. It's an amazing thing, right? If you are making people feel welcome here at church by serving on the hospitality team and looking out for somebody that you can help, right? Or if you're choosing to go down to Merrimack School with Balancing the Scales and teaching a little child how to read. Or if you go down to International Institute and you're helping a refugee family move into their apartment. Or you're coming here to church and you're fixing a meal with some Christian brothers and sisters to offer it to our guests at Room at the Inn. Or if you're going to a local rescue shelter and you're helping the dogs there, you're gonna feel better. It's very simple, friends. If you're concentrating on helping someone else, you're not concentrating on what's worrying you. You are forcing yourself to think about something else, something where you can see life is pretty good, and it really helps a great deal. Now, all these things I do. So what I'm saying is this is not theoretical in nature when I'm saying, yeah, these things will, this will help according to the academics. I'm saying these are tools I use all the time and I have found them to work extraordinarily well. But on top of all of these, friends, One of the most powerful things we can do to overcome worry and anxiety is to just simply remember the power of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus is right here with me. And what I do all the time is I think about Jesus, right? I in my mind, go over all the things I know about Jesus. I know Jesus is the great God who was worshiped by angels and archangels in heaven. But he chose, because he loves me and because he loves you, he chose to leave heaven behind and come down into this pain-filled, dark world. Why? To be with us. He loves us so much he would leave that to be with us. And I remember that no matter how we treated him, no matter how much hatred we threw his way, he always, 100% of the time, replied with love and replied with grace. 100% of the time, reached out to us to help us, to heal us, to love us, to share his strength with us. I know that he loves me so much that he chose to die. He chose to go to the cross to save me from death. And when I think about all these things about Jesus, I try to think, when has Jesus not been there for me? When has Jesus ever not had my back? When has Jesus ever not had my best interests in mind? And I've never yet come up with a single instance, because there is none. There has never an instance where Jesus does not have your best interest in mind, friends. He always and forever wants what's best for you. He always and forever wants to help you. Always. So given that fact, don't you think that we can trust him to be here for us and to care and to walk with us through whatever it is? I want you to hear again powerful words from the psalm. This time it's Psalm 46. But with what I've just been telling you, just think on these words of what the Bible tells us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on earth, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still. Isn't that what we're talking about? Hey, he says, shh, shh. I'm here. I'm God. Shh. It's okay. I'm here for you. Be still and know that I am God. I got your back. I'm here for you. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. And that mighty fortress always and forever shares himself with us. Always and always and forever wants what's best for us. Always. So when worries and anxiety start to take over your mind, stop and run to Jesus. Think about Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Let Jesus wrap you up in his arms. Because here's the thing, friends. Jesus is bigger than anything the world can throw your way. Jesus is bigger than anything that scares us. Jesus is bigger and stronger than anything that causes us to fear. So don't let the fear of the future ruin your life now. Jesus is bigger than whatever it is. And the good news is Emmanuel. God is with us. And he'll never let us go. Thanks be to our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Holy One, you know, and you really do know how scary it is to live in this world. Because, Lord Jesus, we know that you experienced everything we do. You experience the loss of loved ones and death. You experience loneliness. You experience fear. You experienced all the things that haunt our lives. And so you know what we're going through. And your holy word tells us that you are our great high priest who sympathizes with what we're going through, who has compassion on what we're going through, and who enters into what we're going through to be that fortress, to be that rock, to be the strength that we need to overcome. And we praise you for that, Holy One. We praise you for sharing yourself with us, not because we deserve it, but simply because you love us so much. And so, Holy One, we just admit to you that we are worriers. We admit to you that sometimes anxiety makes us take our eyes off of you. And so help us with that and just scoop us up and love on us to get us through. We thank you, God, for all your love. We thank you for always being here. We thank you that you are Emmanuel with us always. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.